So we got to the last two lines of Mem Tesem and Beis in the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins that Kolav Kasher Ledin Kasher Lahayid. Anyone who's kasher to judge is also kasher to testify. But there are those who are permitted to testify, but they're not kasher to judge. So what's the case? What's it coming to include, or who's it coming to include? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lasuya Suma Ba'achas Me'inav. To include a summa, that the summa who's blind in one eye, you know, although he's kosher to testify, he is not kosher ladun. Why do we know? Who says this? Umani, Rabbi Meir. This is the sheet of Rabbi Meir, Desanya, the top of Nun Amun Aleph here. Hiya, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Matam, Alomer. What we learn from the Pasuk, Alpiyam, Yekol, Riv, Vichol, Nega, that based on their words, every fight and every Nega, what's the connection of Nega Tzaras to Riv, to Din Torah? The Chima, Inyan, Rivim, Eitz, Negaim. What does any Rivim fighting have to do with Negaim? The makish rivim negaim, ma negaim b'yom, just like negaim have to be seen only during the daytime. This is it says in the pasuk by negatrasu b'yom he ra'os bo, the day you see it, dafka b'yom. Ah, rivim b'yom, so too the fighting are only, the judging of the dinei Torah are only b'yom. Ma negaim shlo b'suma, just like a negaim cannot be seen by a kohen z'suma. This is it says l'chol mara einei kohen, a kohen who has both eyes that are usable. Af, so too, Rivim Shloba Suma, so too a Riv, a Din Torah, cannot be judged through the Suma. So here we see that a Suma is possible, Lodzin. Umakish Negarm L'Rivim. Now we connect the other way. Negarm are going to learn something from Rivim. Ma Rivim Shloba Krovim, just like Rivim, you can't have Krovim on the Din as a Dayan. Af Negarm Shloba Krovim, so too, you can't have a relative see Negarm. That's what actually the Gemara says. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Tzvachim and Miriam. was hit with a negatras. So Aaron said, the Gemara said, Aaron can't check. Aaron was only Kohen at the time. Aaron was a Karov. The Karov is possible for Negam. That's why Kadosh Baruch had to do the inspection of the negatras. So just like Krovim are possible for Rivim, so too Negam Shalob Krovim. Ima Rivim Bishalosha, just like when it comes to Din Torah, you need three Dayanim. So Af Negam Bishalosha, one might have thought maybe you should also require three for negatras. Vidinu, it makes sense, because Mamona Bishalosha Gufa Lokoshkim. If someone's mammon, which is so secondary to a person's life, requires three dayanim, certainly one's own body, one's own guf, neged teras should certainly require three dayanim, to which the Gemara says, Tamalomar, v'huva el aron ha-kohen, o el echad mibanav ha-kohanim, only one, halamata she'afilu ba-kohen echad, ro'a esenagam. Even one kohen suffices for the din of neged teras. So that's a din. So this is an example, again, the summa ba'achas be'inav, although he's kosher for edus, he's pasul to be a dime. So if you look at the Tosas on the top, your Tosas asks an interesting question. He asks a couple places in Shas. Kol ha-kashu din kashu lahayit. So there's this equation. Anyone who's kashu to be a dayan, and anyone who's kashu to be an aid, is kashu to be a dayan. So other way around. So any kashu to be din, is kashu to be an aid. So the threshold for dayanim is higher than the threshold for aidus. So Gemara says, what about Isha? Hare Isha dikshayu ladun. A woman's kashu to be a dayan, we have the case of Devora. And she was shofeta, she was shofet, and she was judging Klal Yisrael, and yet we know that an isha is possible to be an aid, he goes on to prove. So that's an example where she's a woman's kasha for dayan, but possible to aid this. So Tosa answers, we go halfway down the Tosa, he says, V'yeshomer d'hachikamar, l'chol, kol ish ha-kasha l'adun kasha l'ahayid. Every man who's kasha for din is kasha to testify, but you do have a woman who is kasha to din, but possible to aid this, or inami. Need to be nidodin have isha bechlal mikomachim b'dayanim ein isha bechlal. The dvar ha'isa done al pi adibur. Dvar wasn't a typical dayan. She wasn't a dayan. She was a pi ruach hakodesh, a pi nevuah. She was judging. It was a different din. It's not a classical dayan that we're describing here in the Mishnah. Or inami. Alternatively, loya ha'isa dana that really dvar wasn't judging at all. Ela milamed this lema dayanim adinim. She was just teaching what the dinim were, but she wasn't actually applying the dinim. She wasn't actually a dayan. So these are three different answers how to deal with the case of Devorah. Gemara now says back inside, halfway down the narrow lines here, Hahu samia dehavi b'shevavusei de Rabbi Yochanan. There was a certain blind person who lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yochanan. Dehavi karyan kedayan dina velo kamerle velo midei. He would judge. He would be a dayan. And Rabbi Yochanan didn't say a thing. He let a suma be a dayan. And even though we just said before, a suma can't serve as a dayan. Heichi avin hachi, how does he allow for this? V'ha'amer Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, have a statement in general when it comes to Psak Halacha based on the Mishnah. Halacha Kistam Mishnah. And whenever there's a Stam Mishnah, it doesn't tell us who the author is. It's so sim, it hides the author. That says we paskin that way because the Mishnah wants to give the impression that everyone holds this way. Even though it might be the sheet of Rabbi Meir, the fact that the Mishnah didn't tell us Rabbi Meir, it wants it to give the impression that this is a halacha kirabim, and that's why paskin. So we hold like a Stam Mishnah of Etnan, called kasher ladin, kasher lahoy, v'yesh kasher lahoy, v'en kasher ladin. V'ramina la'asuyah mai, we say, what does that come to include? And Rabbi Yochanan himself says, Am Rabbi Yochanan, la'asuyah suma ba'achas be'enav, that he's kasher lahoy, but he's pasul ladin. So how does Rabbi Yochanan allow for a summa to be a judge in his community? So Rabbi Yochanan stamach rina ashkach. He found a different stam mishnah that says the other way, and he embraces that stam mishnah. The Tanan, the mishnah tells us this appears in Maseches Sanhedrin that a dine mamnas done in bayom the gomer balayla. When it comes to a financial dispute, that din Torah could take place during the daytime, and you could complete it balayla. So what's the relevance? So the fact that gomer balayla, how do you know in general that a din Torah, a riv, a fight, has to be bayom? We learned it out from the connection to Neged Taras. So that Neged Taras taught us two halachas. One is that a din Torah must be bayom. Number two is the din Torah must be with a mari einav, with a person who could see, not a blind person. But from the fact that Mishnah allows the Gemara din, the Gemara din, to take place balayla, indicates that we don't use Neged Taras as a source anymore. Because Neged Taras is only bayom. How can we lie with din Torah balayla? Must be we don't have that source of no connection to Neged Taras. And just like we don't learn then from Neged Taras the din of bayom, so too we don't learn the psul of suma from Neged Taras either. So it comes out from this mission to Hedjin is just like Gemara din balayla is permitted, so too a suma is permitted as well to be a daim. So for some reason Rabbi Yochanan preferred that Mishnah over the Mishnah here in Maseches Nida. So Gemara wants to know why. My ulma hadahai sama mehai sama. Who says the Mishnah in Sanhedrin is a preferable source than the Mishnah here in Maseches Nida? And the Gemara answers, Ibar Yisema stama derabim adif. The stama derabim, it's a stam keta of the rabim. Why is the stam keta of the rabim? Because here we know the Mishnah Nida was authored by Rabbi Meir. We know who's behind the stam Mishnah. It's the one das yachid, it's Rabbi Meir. But the stam Mishnah in Sanhedrin, we're not told who the author is, therefore it was authored by rabim, by the rabim. So we chose the Rabbim over the Yachid. That's one reason why we paskin like the Mishnah and Sanhedrin. Alternatively, Gemara suggests, V'bai Zema, Mishum de Katani La, Gavi Hilchasa de Dine. You have to look at the context. The context of the Mishnah here in Maseches Nida has nothing to do with Dayanim. There's a whole list of different parallels we have in the Mishnah Nida, but not the Halachas of Dayanim. We spoke the other day about the Dinim of Dina Fashos, so that's connected. But then we're going to learn more about Meiser and Peya. Nothing to do with Dayanus here. But the Mishnah in Maseches Sanhedrin, the context is one of Dinim, and therefore we prefer that Stam Mishnah, we assume it's more correct, than a Stam Mishnah in the context of Hilchos Nida. So those are two reasons why we pass in that way, in which case, in the end of the day, the Psak is a Summa may serve as a Dayan. Okay, the next Mishnah now here in Daf Nunam and Aleph, we're four narrow lines up. The Mishnah says, "Kol shechay b'maisros mitamei tumas ochlin. Anything that's subject to taking maiser. So, for example, maiser is a machlokas. The Gemara, the pasuk says, 'Degancha tiroshcha v'tzarcha.' Degancha is dagan, it's the five grains. Tiroshcha is wine and grapes. V'tzarcha is olives and olive oil. So, those are three areas of food that certainly require tumas and maisros from." And there's machlokas in the Shon between the Rambam and the Rashi, where the shar pears, other fruits outside the ones I mentioned, whether those have a chiv deraisa of shumas ha-maisos, only a chiv midirban. But either way, everything that's chayv in shumas ha-maisos is certainly considered a food. So therefore, kol shechayv maisros, anything that's chayv maiser, would also be metame tumas ochlin. Has it in a food? And if tumas meis, sherech, or nevela, anything that's tame, would contaminate these foods because it's tumas ochlin. However, the opposite is not the case. You have yeshet shemetami tumas ochlin veino chayv b'maisos. You do have food items that are subject to tuma, but yet they're not chayv in trumos and maisos. What is that? So the Gemara says clearly, lasuya mai, to include lasuya basar v'dogim ubeitim. Meat, fish, and eggs are all food, and they're all subject to tumas ochlin, yet there's no chayv maisos on them. You don't separate maisos when you have meat. You don't separate maisos on fish or on eggs, they don't grow from the ground. So this is an example of that which has tumas ochlin, but doesn't have a chi of mice. Then the next mishnah, again, the same pattern we have in all these mishnayos here in this pair. Kol shechai b'peya, chai b'maisos. Anything that's chai b'peya, we'll see the criteria in the Gemara, which means that you have, for example, grains growing in your farm. You have to leave a corner available for the anim, that's a din of peya. So anything that's chayim peya is also chayim b'maisos. But you have the opposite case. V'yesh shechayim b'maisos, v'ena chayim b'peya. There are examples of things that are subject to hafrashas maiser. You have to separate maiser and give it to the levi, but it's not subject to the din of peya, of giving the leaving the peya for the anim. So what are the examples here? So Gemara tells you, la'asui mai, la'asui te'ena v'yerek she'ena chayim b'peya. When it comes to figs, when it comes to vegetables, these items are not chayv in peya. You don't have to leave the corner of them, and we'll see why. It's not. The Mishnah says, klal amru b'peya. This is the rule, these are the principles of what's chayv in peya. Kol shu ochel, anything has to be food. That's the first starting. Starting point is food. You obviously don't leave mice of rocks or trees. That has to be food. Second criteria, nishmar has to be something that is, that's preserved. Three. The gidulim in ark has to grow from the ground, as opposed to meat doesn't grow from the ground. There's no peya by meat. Number four, the lichitaso geachad, where you have to you harvest everything the same season. It comes all the same time of year. It's not broken up in the piecemeal. And the fifth criteria is machnis lakim, that you could bring it in to preserve. So the person able to store them. So all these things are chayv and peya. So chayv and peya. So now the Gemara goes one by one. What does each one include? You might have to help me out in English, what are these different items that it's excluding. But ocha, when it says food, the mute svichei sitim v'kotze. It has to be food as opposed to these things, which I think call aftergrowth, they usually refer to it, right? The aftergrowth, which are things, they're weeds and whatnot. They're not edible. These are not subject to peya. Nishmar, what's Nishmar? Has to be where you protect it, where you fence it in, where you're watching it over, the mute hefker. If I have, you know, I see a hefker field, and there's, I don't know, grapes and oranges or grains growing, I don't have to leave peya, because that's hefker. The gidulim in art has to grow from the ground. Lemute kimim pichios. When it comes to different types of fungi, when it comes to mushrooms, which although they might be attached to the ground, they don't grow from the ground, they're not called gidulim in art. It's able to work off a rock or even the ground. It looks like it grows from the ground, but it doesn't grow from the ground. That's why we know you say a shahakal on mushrooms. You don't say a ha'adama on mushrooms. They don't grow from the ground, even though they may attach to the ground. So that's also pater from peya, has to be gidulim in art. The fourth criteria in the Mishnah and Peah is the kitasa ke'echa, where you gather them all in one time. The harvesting is all together, lemutei te'ena, as opposed to figs. Apparently, I don't know how figs work, but figs, they don't get collected at the same time of this year. There are different seasons throughout the year where they get collected. It's not the kitasa ke'echa, and therefore figs are also exempt from having to leave Peah. And the fifth criteria needed for Peah is machnis lakim, that's something you could store over time, lemutei yerek, as opposed to yerek, vegetables which I think don't require storage. So either way, we have these five different necessary requirements that are going to tell us what's chayv and peya and what's pater and peya. However, when it comes to ilagav and meiser, with respect to the din of a meiser, there's a different set of criteria. You only need three of the five mentioned. So the Mishnah says, that's not. What do you need for meiser? Kol shu ochel, that which is food. The nishmar, that which is protected and owned as opposed to hefker. And gidulim in arts, that which grows from the ground, all those are chayv b'maisos. However, ilu l'kitasa ke'echad, u'machnis l'kim lokatani, that which gets harvested in one time, or that which gets put in a storage house, these are not criteria for meiser, in which case figs, for example, although figs, as we said, are pater from peya, figs are chayv and meiser, because figs are something, it's ochel. If it's nishmar, if it's protected, and also it's gidulim in arts, therefore, this sign that it's chayv and meiser, yet it's pater from peya. So then the Gemara says further, im hayu baham, if there's amongst them, if there's hayu shumim ubitam, if they're garlic and onions, which are types of yerek, these are chayavim, they are chayv in peya. Even though we said other vegetables are pater in peya, onions and garlic are different. They're chayv in the peya. Why? The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Peya, malbinos b'talm. If you have rows of onions, shebein hayarik, that are in between the different vegetables that are being grown, Rabbi Yosi Omer peya mikol achas v'achas. So the way that the onions work, the onions, even though other vegetables are pater from Peah, you're chayiv in onions. So now you have to be, you have to leave Peah and onions. But let's say onions are separate. You have, let's say, I don't know, 10 rows of, say, cucumbers ground. And in between each row you have onions. So now you have also, you have 9 rows of onions in between. So now do you have to take Peah, leave Peah on each row of the rows of onions, or enough to leave one corner of all the onions altogether? So Rabbi Yossi says that each row between the cucumbers is a separate field, and you need to leave a corner on each row. Peah mikol achas veachas. While Chacham Omrim, no, me'achas akol. Even though you're right, the onions, rows of onions are separate by rows of cucumbers, you could view the whole patch of onions as one. It's enough to leave just one corner, one onion, which is going to exempt all the onions in that field from the requirement of having to leave additional peos. Now, the Gemara now says the last two lines on the Amud Aleph here, Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Olshin, which is some type of grass, some type of thing that grows in the ground. I don't know if they have a translation, but okay, some type of grass that's eaten by it's edible for us and fed to animals as well. So Shazar Mitchila the behemoth. So let's say you initially grew these ulshin for my animal seed, but then nimlach, and then I decided that I want to aleim l'adam. I want to eat it myself. So is there a din of tumas ochlin? We know that only food that's roy for Michael for adam can be tamei tumas ochlin. So, but machshava plays a big role. In terms of tumah v'tara, my thought, my machshava is very relevant. So I initially planted it for Michael behemoth. And then if it were to grow, it won't become tame. If a nevela touches that, if a sheret touches it, it wouldn't be tame because that's only Michael behemoth. But if I change my mind, then it changes to Michael adam. So the Gemara says, you tzricha machshava, when you need the machshava that I want to change from Michael behemoth to Michael adam, it's only relevant machshava. The machshava only works when you detach it from the ground. But while initially when I grew, when I planted it, it was for Michael Behema. If it's growing and I want to have it for Michael Adam, it doesn't change the status of it. I have to first detach it from the ground and now say I want the Olshin for Michael Adam. Now it takes on the status of an Ochel and subject it to Mas Ochel. But it only works when it's detached. So the Gemara points out, Kesavra, the Gemara is of the opinion, Machsheves Chibor Loshma Machshava. When it's connected to the ground, then that's not called a Machshava, it only works when it's detached. So the Gemara now brings a somewhat of a proof, but not a strong proof, but we have a similar model that the Machshava only works when it's detached. So what's the Raya? Amar Rava, Rava says, Afon Anami Tanina, we also learn in the din of the Mishnah that appears in Maseches Taros, as follows, the very first Mishnah of all Maseches Taros. Yud Gimel Devarim Nemru Benivlas Of Tower. There are 13 things said about a nivlas oftar, which is a kosher bird that became a nevela, wasn't shechted properly. And one of them is tzricha machshava veino tzricha hechsher. You need a machshava, which means I want to have a machshava that it wants to become considered, it will be considered ochel adam. I need to have a thought machshava to make it michael adam. But in terms of hechsher, we know when it comes to foods, in order for foods to become tameh, has to first come into contact with one of the 7 liquids. That's called hechsher. So although nivlas oftar requires a machshava to be considered ochel, it doesn't require a hechsher to become tameh. Alma, we see from this, however, machshevet chaim loshma machshava. Why? It only works, my machshava that I want to eat this kosher bird for food, only works after it's been dead, after it's a nevela. But when it's alive, flying around, my machshava for Michael Adam doesn't work, only when it's dead. So just like the Gemara says, Alma, we see machshevas chayim, losh machshava, when it's alive, the machshava doesn't work for a bird. Hachanami, machshevas chibor, when it comes to the ocean, the thing going to the ground, the machshava of it being connected, which another way of it saying it's alive still, it's connected to the ground, it's still alive, machshevas chibor, losh machshava. So just like by the bird, it only works when the animal is dead, so too by the food, machshava only works when the animal is dead, which means it's detached from the ground. That's the equation the Gemara brings together. So Gemara says, Rabbi Zera says, no, you can't bring me a raya from the case of the bird. Hacha begoza shenafa min haroma skinan. We're talking about a bird that just dropped down from heaven. We couldn't think about it. There's no machshava because it wasn't in front of us. We were just flying and it just dropped dead. But had I had a bird mamish in front of me, the machshava b'chaim of the animal would taka work. The machshava can work. If you look at Rashi, just to say that clearly, Rashi says, min harom, he says, of habar b'haporech ba'avir, it's flying in the air, the lahava kaman mechaim, the lichshei, it wasn't in front of me to be a machshava's ochel. But had I had a bird in my backyard and it's in front of me, the machshava would work afilu b'chayim. So the Gemara says, Amrle Abai. Abai says, okay, that's that case. But Tarnagolos should be Yavna, Ma'iklamema. What about a Tarnagolos that's in Yavna? What does it mean in Yavna? So Rashi explains, Tarnagolos should be Yavna, should Amrina Lakaman, we're going to see a little bit later, Kusim Hayusham, the Kusim lived in Yavna, the Chashu Alehan, they had Machshava of these birds being Machshava Adam, even when it's alive. V'ha Tarnagolos of Mezumanhu, wasn't that Tarnagolos that they were describing in front of them? It was Mezuman, and yet still have it come in Mechaim. They were in front of them when they were alive. Even though the chicken was in front of them, you still need the Machshava. And you need the Machshava when it dies, when it's a Nevela. So you see from that case, even though it was Mechaim, Machshava doesn't work on a Tarnagolos Mechaim. It only works when it's already dead. So Gemara says, no, Amar Lei, Tarnagolos Barahava. That Tarnagolos that we were talking about, that case in Yavna, that wasn't a Tarnagolos that was in the backyard. That was a Tarnagolos that was a Barhava, which is a non-kosher animal, which they didn't raise non-kosher animals there, and that there was a wild turkey or wild, whatever it was, and therefore, it's not subject, it wasn't in front of them. But had it been in front of them, Enechanami, they wouldn't eat a Machshava. So the Gemara, in this response, Tarnagolos Barhava, Achichu Aleh, they started laughing at him. What kind of answer is this? Tarnagol bara is of tamehu. V'of tameh mi kimetameh. Our discussion is about an of tameh, or kosher bird, that died, that became a nevela. But an of tameh, a non-kosher bird, there's no subject to tumah. If a guy eats an of tameh, there's an issa deraisa to eat an of tameh, no question. But in terms of tumah, there's no tumah for a guy eating of tameh. So how could you say, oh, the tumah of the case of Yavna was a tarnagolos bara? Tarnagol bara is not a kosher animal. It can't be subject to the din. They start laughing. What kind of answer is that? It wasn't a Tarnagolos bara. So Amar Leia, Abai says to them, he gave him a big Musar lesson. Gavi Rabba Amar Milsa, when a big guy, a Gavi Rabba, a Adam Gadol Hador says something, Lo Tachichale, don't laugh at him. You didn't understand what he meant. He said, but Tarnagolos Shemarda Umay Bara Dibra Mimara. He's talking about a kosher bird, a Tarnagolos Shemarda, again, that flew away and became a wild animal now, and therefore, it wasn't in front of him. It left. It flew away. It's called bara because it became outside. Bara means outside. It left him. So that's what it's talking about. It's talking about a particular bird that was a kosher bird, but flew away, went into the wild, and then it came back. That machshava only works after it died because it wasn't in front of you to flew away to have the proper machshava. But Ein Achnami, had the bird been in front of him the whole time, a machshava mechaim of an of tahor would in fact be a good machshava. And again, you can't bring a rise from the case of a nivas of tahor to the case of the olshin of tzricha machshava kishu yitlishu. Gemara now says, Rapapa says, it's a different case, Amar Tarnagolosa, the Agmahavi, I was referring to some type of bird that was in the swamps and in the forest somewhere where it was not in front of them to have the proper machshava. The Gemara is giving different examples of a type of bird that wasn't in their presence, so the machshava couldn't work. But had it been in the presence of Enachanami, machshava would have worked. And Rav Papa's Lashitaso, Rav Papa holds that they were talking about Tarnagolosa Dagma, female chicken or something that was in the swamp. Do you have a translation for this?
Swamp.
Okay. So Rav Papa has in the Shitaso Latameh, that Dhamma Rav Papa, Tarnagol, a male Tarnagol, the Agma that's found in the swamps, those are usher. They can't eat those. They don't have the proper kosher simanim. But a Tarnagolosa, the female one, the Agma in the swamps, the shari is permitted. How was the simanach, the mnemonic to remember this is Amoni v'lo Amonis. You can't marry an Amoni, but you can marry an Amonis. You can't have the male type of swamp chicken, but you may have the female. That's the din. Now, Darish Marema went out to teach that Tarnagolosa de Agma Asira. He argued in Rav Papa and felt that a female chicken in the swamp would be Asir. And Chazir Abanim, because the rabbi saw the Darish of Achla attacked the food, the prey, and ate it in such a way. Look at Rashi in a second. Vahainu Girusa, it's a type of bird which is referred to in the Gemara and Chulun. So in terms of kosher birds, one of the simanim that disqualify a bird from being kosher is the way it attacks and preys on other animals. So since they observe that this Tarnagolosa de Agma would be Darsa, we'll look at Rashi the means, it's therefore a non-kosher bird. Rashi writes, Chazir Abanan de Darsa, around 20 narrow lines up, Rashi says, Mekabels beragulea masha ochel. It grabs on with its legs whatever it eats, And Rashi says a little bit different. Vani Omer, Rashi himself says, Shedereses al machala bragla lecho shelo yavo kula lapia. It holds on to his legs while it eats it a little bit. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on here, but somehow use it, it attacked its prey using its feet. Vayit in the Gemara now. Gemara says, Tani Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us that gozel shenafa lagas, you have a small little bird, the kosher bird, it falls into a big pot of wine, big vat of wine. And v'chashiv alav la'alosa, the kusi, he said he wanted to take out the bird, but you didn't want to eat it. You had in mind to give it to the kusi, which is a human being. So that's tamei, that kusi is considered an adam, and therefore even though it might be a nachri, that's still considered a meichel adam, and now this gozel, this food, would be subject to tumas ochlim. But let's say you had intent to take out the gozel lekelev, to feed it to your dog, which is again not meichel adam, that would be remain tahor, that's not called meichel adam. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he says, af lekelev tamei. Even if one were to take out this gozal to feed to the dogs, that would still have a shame ochel and ochel adam and would become tamei. Why? You weren't intending on giving it to, your, to a person. You were intending to give it to a dog. Why would that become tamei? And the answer is, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds, you don't need a machshava at all. He has, when something is nivlas of tower, when a kosher bird becomes a nevela, you don't require any machshava. It itself stands on its own as considered ochel, and therefore there's no need for machshava. So the Tanakhama holds, nivlas oftar does require machshava, so only machshava le'adam is possible, is tameh, machshava le'kelv isn't. But Yochanan ben Nuri thinks that no, nivlas oftar does not require a machshava at all, and it itself becomes ra'i l'tuma, even without any machshava. So Amar Yochanan ben Nuri, he holds the kal v'chomer. What is kal v'chomer? That im metame tuma chamura, the person eats a nivlas of tahor, so then the din is, then he's tame. Shalom machshava. You don't have to have a machshava. If a guy eats a nivlas of tahor without being machshav the food as a ochel adam, it's metame him. So if it's able to produce a tuma chamura, if I eat a nivlas of tahor, that my clothing will become tame, I'll become tame, that's a serious high level of tuma. So lo yitame tuma kala shalom machshava. So certainly, for this food to be considered tumas ochlin, certainly doesn't require machshava either. That was the kal v'chomer of Rabbi Yochanan. And Amr Lo, they responded back to Rabbi Yochanan, Lo, not a good comparison, not a good kal v'chomer. Im Amr tuma chamura for a nivlas of tar to create, to generate tuma chamura, which means a person and the begadim can become tamei, that exists, shekein eni yered eslakach. You don't need a heksher. Remember, we spoke of a heksher. When you eat nivlas of tar, you don't need to be machshir the nivlas of tar first. So we see there's a certain chumra that exists of tumah that's able to produce tumah chamura even without there being a heksher, as opposed to tumah kala. But for to create tumah kala, where it does shekinu redislakach, it does require a heksher. So just like legabei ochen mashkim, it does require heksher. So too requires a machshava as well. So they challenge the kal v'chomer to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. I know, not an easy piece. Whenever it's tumah v'tahor, it's not easy. But this is the gemara we have to deal with today. The Gemara then says, Amar Lehem, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says back to them, Tarnagolos Sheviyavna Tochiach Shiredis Lakach V'Timu Shalom Achshava. I'll prove to you, it doesn't bother me. I could give you an example of something that requires Hechsher, but doesn't require Machshava. That case of that Tarnagolos that we spoke of in Yavna requires a Hechsher to become Tamei, but yet it didn't require Machshava either. So here too, I'm not bothered by this case as well. Amrullah, they say, no, Misham Rai, you bring a Rai from the case of the Tarnagolos in Yavna. They're Rakusim, Hayusham, they're Rakusim, they're non-Jews who live there, and they're Chashra Le'alachir, they had a Machshava to eat it. So you're right, that case was the required Heksher, but it also required a Machshava. You're incorrect, it does require a Machshava. Anything that requires Heksher also requires a Machshava. So Gemara said, but my asking, what's the case, what are the details of the situation there in the Nivas Oftar when it requires Machshava or not? Elam, if you're telling me it's in a situation of the krachim, big cities, lamli machshava, what's the need for machshava on an nevela? The Hassan, the Mishnah tells us, in Mishnah Uksim, we saw this already earlier in the Masechta, nivlas behema torah b'chol makom, a nevela of a behema, of a big animal, a cow that drops dead, that's a nevela, wherever it is, because whether it's in a big city or a village, it's always considered a nevela, and it doesn't require machshava. Nivlas oftar, but if it's an oaf, that drop dead, that's, and the chaylev, and any of the fat of the behema, of the kosher animal, the krachim, in the krachim, they're considered food, because in the krachim, where there are more people, so now, they need more food also. So they're willing to even have the chaylev of a behema, and they're even willing to eat the, nivlas of tar, but ein tichon lo machshava lo heksha. So if it's talking about a big city, big krachim, there's no need for machshava. Those already stand objectively as considered food. So the case that we're talking at hand and question whether it requires a machshava or not about a nivlas oftar must be the kfar, in the villages, where there were not so many people there, and people wouldn't really eat nivlas oftar. Why would they waste their time on an oftar that died? They'd rather have other food. Since there wasn't such a high demand, that they didn't have to have a nivlas oftar. So a stam nivlas oftar is actually not ochel. Now, would anyone say delo bai machshava? Even in the kfarim, even in the villages where they wouldn't typically eat nivas of tar, do you still require machshava though? Would someone say you don't require machshava? Everyone certainly does require machshava. That can be a debate. That's how the Mishnah tells us, nivlas behema temeya, nevel of a non-kosher animal, b'chol makom, and nivlas of tar b'kfarim, and a dead kosher bird in the kfarim, both of them, Tzricha machshava, that does require machshava, but vein tzricha behechsher, that doesn't require hechsher. Either way, you see, if it's in the krachim, nivlas oftar doesn't require machshava, everyone eats it. And if it's in the kfarim, it certainly does require machshava, because no one eats a nivlas oftar, you have to create a machshava. So what's the question in hand, which Gemara answers, and we'll stop here. So Amar Rabbi Zeira Bar Chanina, what's the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri and Chachamim? About that goes that fell into the vat of wine, whether it requires machshava or doesn't require machshava. It's li'olam b'krach, really talking about a case of a big city. And even though normally a big city, nivlas oftar doesn't require machshava, because everyone eats a nivlas oftar in a big city, because there's high demand and low supply. Gito Ma'asta, when it fell into the vat of wine, it ruined it. It ruined the goza, ruined the bird, and therefore people won't eat it, and therefore Vaso Kikfar became the din of a kfar, and that's the machlokas. When you have something that's nivlas oftar and becomes contaminated, does that now require machshava or not? Rabban says it does require machshava because now it's contaminated, or Rabbi Yochanan Nuri holds that no, it still remains nivlas oftar, and just like in general, nivlas oftar in the krach doesn't require machshava, here too as well, even though it fell into the vat of wine, it too doesn't require a machshava.